That's why I need your money to help out my gambling addiction for the low, low price of $19.95 a week.
Call now. Jay's Bookies are standing by.
Snack was beast, man. The original alternative station. Did you know Butch Vig is from Wisconsin, man? Butch Vig is from Wisconsin.
Podcast, Jay. Oh my goodness, that was funny. I am very sorry about your gambling debts, though. But you do have some very good Butch Vig stories.
Oh, always, Steve. Always for you.
But we'll say that for a later date. But Jay actually knew Butch Vig before he did Nirvana's Nevermind. So there's that. That's exciting, but yeah.
Oh, anyway, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's that.
A lot of cool stories from that guy. He's awesome.
Yeah, anyway. Sorry, we're music nerds. Guys, massive thank you. Can't say enough. The Kraken. Holy cannoli. I thought. Here was the thing. I've seen what the Titan did. The Titan Junior, the Kamikazes, all of them. And thought we got enough. Thought we had enough. Not quite. Not quite. It's been recraculous. I mean, we went way over the top with inventory on these. Still sold out on some colors and definitely on the tail. So there'll be more here very shortly. We went way over the top. Like, it's like, fool me once, fool me twice. You get prepared for it, right?
Yeah.
It's been crazy. I mean, we are down to... We've got, as of Sunday night at 10 Eastern, Pumpkin Sparkle and Black Glitter Skirts. What we got? Walleye Gold's been gone. Walleye Gold went the first day.
That was the hot choice. Yeah.
That is my favorite caller. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but you're like, hold on, let me put up on my phone the actual.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to get. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to get in that caller, but I have to wait for the second round at this point.
I handmade a bunch of 6-aught Colorados and 6-aught Willows. We got some 7-aughts coming. There are 4 black skirts left, Jay.
Okay.
4.
Okay.
Right now. Everything else is like just a couple things left. Just a couple left. I'm sorry. So I've got messages today from guys like, hey, I want to buy X, Y, and Z bait, but the skirts aren't there. That will all be there very soon. We thought, I mean, yeah, you want to sell stuff out. That's cool. Whatever. You know, yeah, you ship 100 baits and you sell it out. Who cares? We're talking way, 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 way more than that. And, you know, these are 5-figure numbers here. So we'll get it figured out here very shortly. There's a reshipment coming. You know, as much as I'd love to quote unquote sell them out, that's not the point. It's to make sure everybody gets what they want. So everything will be restocked. Things have been slow. We'll talk about here in a minute how pain in the butt it's been for me because of the snow and everything, but that's been cool. The other thing that went well is the quad dog didn't do so bad.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting, you know, and then obviously you got the Chicago show. Everybody's doing that, and you got that going on. Got that going on for you. We referenced Jake Smitty Smith. He's at the shows. So by
Smitty singing bait, some karaoke, I heard, too.
Singing karaoke. He's eating Texas Roadhouse, doing the Lord's work. I love Jake. He's great. So, you know, that would be the one guy. If you're going to a show, go see the Smitties. He does great stuff. But Kraken, thank you, guys. I'll shut up about it. We're going to stop talking about it here for a minute. If anything I don't want to do is my stuff. But whatever. Kraken, we'll talk about it. We got a masterclass video coming out here at some point. Obviously I've looked at some emails this week, got a couple cracking questions. We'll talk about when we do Q&A later, but thank you. You guys rock, and it's going to catch you some fish. Next level braid, ridiculous.
A lot of that stuff too. Yeah, for sure.
Which is one of these deals like, hey, don't switch your brand cause of me, but if you don't have a home, come home.
Yeah, if you don't have a home, this one home. Might be a good choice for you.
If you're mad at everything else, come.
You're mad at
my outspread wings will hold you.
Oh,
come, I will nestle you in the home that is next level braid. So it's been cool, man. I'll shut up. Bunch of cool stuff coming up here very shortly. Not even going to talk about it, Jake. We can't even go there yet. But Don Figure-Eight called me. He's like, hey, man, I got your other thing done.
Oh, boy.
I didn't want to go there. It's just, come on, dude. All I do, here's what happened, Jay. I'm going to tell you right now. I have not, and admittedly, dudes, for the first time in years since we've done the podcast, this is the longest I've not been on the boat. I don't think I've been on, let me give my phone.
Yeah, because of the weather. Dude, yeah, it's a long week for you, huh?
Oh, on me and the liver. Let me look.
In the garden rake.
No, I have not been on the boat in a week. For the first time in the longest time I can remember. It is running in the single digits at night. 6 inches of snow on the ground, which freezes every day. No one has a plow here. I literally cleared my driveway with a rake, an axe, and a flat shovel.
I wish that was on video. It
nearly heart attacked out. Tomorrow is, it's supposed to be 41. It's the highest it's been in a week, right?
Nice.
We're going to figure out what's broke on my boat.
Yeah, I suppose, right?
I heard the bilge pump run.
You had to ship that thing out.
No, I put the cover on, thankfully. However, snow got in like the back area where some of my batteries are, and like there's an open area there.
Okay.
And I can hear the like auto float swing running. I'm like, oh, that's going to burn out, right? What's broke? So tomorrow's the day of what's broke. I got to do a thing with a newspaper in the morning. And then after that, I'm going to go, okay, and what's this going to cost me? Literally this last week, I built a fireplace, Jay. That's what I've done.
So, toasty.
No, not toasty. More decorative.
Oh, it's got to be toasty in there. Crank her up.
Called Josh Hackensmith. We're talking what a dudes do. You know, some people have some off days. I'm not going to lay around. I don't do PJs, right?
You know?
I see these Wojacks, and they're like, oh, it's fine. I'm going to play my Nintendo. No! Man shit! That's what
I'm
doing.
You should have had me over. We could roll some dice, baby.
I'm not gambling, Jay. I'm making things.
Well, I got the itch.
Abundantly clear.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, man up. What do you do with 7 days? I built a fireplace. It's beautiful. It'll probably burn the house down. I don't know if it's up to code, but I did it, by God. I'm covered in grout and whatever you got there. So that's what I've done. It's just been brutal down the South. I mean, we talk about the differences in climactic things and things of this nature. I've got a koi pond in my backyard. It froze solid. They're probably all dead. Let's just talk about that later. Never melted. Joe Jr., who lives in Franklin down the road from me. So Joe's son lives down the road in Tennessee, and 11 inches there. We never get this kind of weather. Also, too, our houses are not made for this. like no one's like, oh, wow, we're going to get 11 inches. We're like, do you own a snow shovel?
Yeah, you told me the other day, if you had a bunch of snow shovels in your truck when you went to town, you could have made a fortune, because everyone's like, what do you do?
I went to the Home Depot and like a snow shovel. They could have sold snow shovels for $500 a piece. And I would have paid it gladly instead of using a flat shovel. I literally laid back like because you're breathing in the cold air. I've got my snow seat on. That I got in, and I laid down in the snow. I was like, like I'm breaking ice with a rake in the backside of an axe. And I went, I'm just huffing. I laid back and made like the dead guy ice angel or snow angel, whatever you want to call it.
That's what you call him.
I was there. I don't know how you guys do it, but. We've been walloped, so I've got a couple things coming up this week on the app, some new writing things I did. I had time, by the way. So, about some cold water tactics. It's happening down here. We get this every 5, 6, maybe 8 years, and it changes all the patterns. So, I've got an article I did because I've had very, very, very high success in cold water trolling down here. And as well as some cold water casting. So it's not going to let up. We got a little freaking pop up. Jay, in like 3 days, it's going to be 61.
Yeah, I saw your forecast. I looked at it this morning. That's a good turnaround. That's
then
positive.
We're back. Then it's going to flood. I hope you know that, right? So next week, I'll be like, it's flooded. So you got piles of snow that are about to be just obliterated in 4 minutes, and the creeks are going to swell and it's going to go mental. But how do we adjust how we deal with it? Because the cyclical nature of weather systems seems to be currently 3-4 years of nothing and then all hell breaks loose. That's just where we're at. So that's kind of how we have to modify our musky game plan. But you know what? With the cracking out, and thank you guys. I got so many texts, I'll say this. A lot of people that listen to the podcast, they have my phone number. It's cool, right? Most people are respectful of it. And you text me, hey, I got my cracking. I got this. Thank you. Right? The day we launch but let me tell you what I do on the day of launch, right, Jay?
Tell me.
When a new bait comes out for me, guess what I do? I either dig a ditch or make a fireplace. I can't look.
Yeah.
I can't stay busy. I don't care. Yep. it's not like an extension of who I am. So it's a thing that I made. Of course, I'm freaking out, but I'm like, okay, I got to do some grout work, boys. you got to just like sort of be somewhere else. So if I didn't reply to your text or I didn't give you a thumbs up, like I gave probably 200 thumbs ups. And I apologize. I wasn't trying to be impersonal, but.
Yeah, I mean, you got to ask Jody Michael for more caulk. I mean, come on.
Buddy, she's often asking me for more caulk.
Oh.
And I run out quickly. But nonetheless, it's one of those things of like, if you sent me a text or an email, I got to be in a different world, man. I just have to. It just is what it is. So thank you so much. I appreciate the positive juju. Sometimes I'm a human being and I just have to put together a fireplace and not be the guy that made that bait. However, Eric from Livingston was calling me doing cartwheels and probably Body's third Ferrari. But you know what he's got to do. It is what it is. I'm very happy with that bait. But I want to talk about mods. And I don't mean mods for the crack. I just mean mods because I got a ton of emails this week about modification. So what?
Yeah, it's winter project time. Yeah.
Well, it is. And it's like what I'm saying. Trust me. I sat down. The first Pepsi I cracked at 9 in the morning the day the cracking came out. So,
can't drink Pepsi all day if you don't start in the morning, Steve.
The alarm clock hits at 8:50. You're like, oh, crap, the new bait comes out. I better stay lit. Boys, it's what keeps the panic away. I'm a human. I got my own problems. I am crazy. But you come out with a bait and you're lying. You got the book. Oh, God. Sometimes. Jay, can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
How many times have I called you and said, I don't like being me? Yeah. Anyway, so there's days where you're like, I just want to make fireplaces. So I started in the Pepsis early. However, a bunch of guys were asking, like, how do I mod these things? Okay, first and foremost, if this leaves the podcast, which it will, and somebody's going to be a narc. And if you're a narc, I don't like you. So the EBS chamber in the Kraken is in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, theoretically, Jay, you were to remove the weight. And theoretically hit that EBS chamber from about a 45 degree angle in that hole with a 16th or a quarter inch drill bit.
Mm.
It would not make it run deeper. Theoretically. I don't know anything about that. No clue. But you have the hole underneath the weight. Where guys were asking about BBs. So you can put BBs in there. There's some really small split shot you can put there. Obviously, we have the mod hooks I'm doing. I'm working on making more. I literally made those by hand. We didn't have a ton of them because they take eons to make, but I'll try to get them there. But as far as the cracking, there's so much you can do. I'm sick of talking about that bait. Let's talk about general modifications. Anything, right?
Okay, yeah.
New quad dog. I like the quad dog. It's a different presentation, right? First and foremost, quad dog with the diving lip, we know it runs deeper. One thing I'll say about this bait, now it's out, and it just is what it is. I believe that's a 6 and a 4 on the hooking configuration. I believe. It's a 6 and a 5. It's not a 7. I believe it's a 6 and a 4, if not a 6 and a 5. Easy thing, up the hook on the back of that bait, moving on, right? The other easy modifications you can do to anything, a split ring. You go, if it needs a split ring, why doesn't it have a split ring? Split rings cost money, right? They're not free. It's not up to you or the bait manufacturer to put a split ring on everything. It's up to you, excuse me. So the crane baits just came in. I like a big Super 7 on the crane bait just to make sure it's not constricted by my leader or my connection, There's that. Super easy mods. I'm looking at crane baits. We've talked about a billion times. My family has known Bill Crane. I don't know the guys that are making them now, but Bill Crane was not worried about monster muskies. So those are very anemic hooks. You might want to, you don't have to, but you might want to change the hooks on those baits. Simple mods that will really change things up, right? But let's get into things that actually start making things different, okay? Jerk baits. Something that I love because of with so many mod questions this week, right? My buddy Josh Hackensmith, and I mentioned it one time before, he buys nothing but shallow everything, Jay. Shallow Medusa, shallow blocks, right?
Sure.
Why?
Because you can always add, but you can't take away.
A very interesting take on it. I went, okay.
Sure.
So, from a standpoint of bell sinkers, yeah, you can go from add a quarter to add, I don't know what the biggest bell sinker they make is. Let's say, I would bet you could probably get your hands on a 2 ounce of bell sinker, maybe, right? But you can make your own, but it's all musky fishing has always been a purpose driven thing where the guys in Minnesota tend to like things that run deeper. Why do they want them to run deeper? Well, it's not that they're running deeper, it's they're retrieving faster. Speed is lift, inertia is upward lift from angling because you're not presenting inertia or a vector of force on a linear plane with the bait. You're doing it from above the bait. So it's always coming up no matter what you do.
Very true.
So the heavier the bait, the deeper it runs. So you might have a bait that is ridiculously heavy, right? So you take, I know guys in Minnesota that take pounders and they add 8 ounces to them. That's no joke. That most sound, if you're fishing the James River in Virginia, that's the craziest thing you've ever heard, right? No. They do that because the spotted muskies, these Leech Lake freaking fiends, want it fast as you can get it. Right? And this bodes back to a conversation that I had this week. And I've got a couple things we're going to cover here about bait making here in a minute. But I had a very interesting conversation with a guy on my boat. I said this week, I mean last week, before the big freeze, right? About where bait makers are from. What? Why does it matter? Why does it matter where a bait maker's from? Well, Joe Booker, I'll pick on him because I can. Joe Booker came up with the shallow raider, the depth raider, right? Glide raider, top raider, various Booker tails and slot masters. Have I missed one? Okay. The depth raider, hits 6 to 8. You don't need much more in Wisconsin. You don't need much more in Lake of the Woods in July and August. Joe Booker perennially has fished Lake of the Woods, July, August, maybe into September. Joe Booker has fished the crap out of inland lakes in Wisconsin the majority of his career. Right? So is Joe Booker a Wisconsin-only bait maker? No. He's designing those baits based on his own personal experiences. Right? Long before modular weighting and modular changes could be even made. Right? This is what I've seen. This is what I'm doing. This is how I fish. This is the interpretation of how I fish passed on to you as a consumer. Right? So what you get out of Joe Booker is a representation of where and how he fishes. Right? You look at the Kraken. let's look at the Prometheus, which I won't dispute at all, Red October. These guys are on the Buffalo Bay or whatever the heck it is and fishing the St. Lawrence and all this stuff. Guess what they fish? Deep. Deep. I've yet to have success on a deep Red October tube because it's not applicable for where I fish. It's not because it doesn't work. It works wonderfully if where you fish it is applicable.
Sure, sure, yeah.
However, their presentations and what they have done is a representation of their own experiences.
Yeah, not unlike, say, John Bondi.
Boom, right. John, thank you. Bondi baits, wonderful example. John Bondi, I think, and I have no relationship there. I'm not riding or simping here. But I had a client ask me, what's that supposed to look like? It's a sheep head. It's a sheep's head. Well, why does it look like a sheep's head? We don't have them in Wisconsin because they have them all over the Detroit River. And muskies eat sheep's head on the Detroit River. That's a representation of what he had to do to be successful. And he went, this works for me here. Can you use this where you fish?
Right, right.
Whoa. Whoa. And we had this conversation on the boat. And I went, oh, this makes so much sense where, you know, again, admittedly, why do you go the Titan? Okay, talking about me, sorry. Titan Jr., Kraken, all this crap I've come up with, and I love it, but not to focus on that. Why the modular lighting? Because I would need four different Titans for Tennessee, where I fish on the regular. Tennessee, Wisconsin, and two different bodies of water in Ontario.
Canada, yeah.
Right? The Goon and Eagle, which are completely different. So I'd need four different Titans. Well, I did the modular wedding, so I don't need four different Titans. I don't need four different Krakens. Titan Jr. is what it is. It's a tiny little bait. We tried modular wedding. Good luck. You know, change the hooks. Do what you need to do. Put a little lead tape on it. But for that body size, if they're that finicky, good luck to you. But the Kraken was like, okay, mid shallow deep on Tennessee water versus mid shallow deep on Eagle is way different. So I needed the change because my experience is 8 months in Tennessee every year, followed by 4 months up north. Right? So 8 months, 4 months. Where some of these people are 6 months. Another thing I thought about is this, and this is just my brain's going this way. You're going to hate this. I've had a miserable week. Like, could I have gotten on open water, Jay? Yes. Did I want to? No.
Yeah. What cost?
I've thought about that, and I thought that, like, I almost ribbed you at point. Oh, it's open water. Is it open water on Tomahawk? Yeah. But it's eight. I walked to my mailbox and thought I would die. a pure representation of what that's like was I've had it before, but it was, okay. Reminder, Steve, sub-freezing single digits, high teens is way nastier than what you forgot. So the guy that's not hitting what little open water there is in the late fall, he ain't missing a bite. He's not crazy. Right? So, for me, it's a matter of time. I think one thing that makes it interesting is at least my perspective of I spend 12 months fishing for muskies every year. Right? And you go, okay, I'm here, then I'm there. Where's my focus at? How do I make the same tools apply? Because, you know, if I spent 8 months doing Krakens and Titans and all that stuff I do, I can't just kind of do this hard parallel shift where I go, oh, I'm magically doing these other things. I'm good at them. Right? So it's an interesting perspective to look at where bait's from. And I thought about this and I was going down the rabbit hole. I go, Okay. Bulldogs, where are they from, Jay?
What state? Wisconsin.
Hmm. Is Brad LaRue in Wisconsin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Brad Rue. Yep.
Is it on the west or east?
Southeast area.
Southeast. Okay. I always thought he's Minnesota. Maybe I'm wrong. Chaos then? Let's go there.
Well, Chaos was actually born out of Minnesota, and then it shifted to Northern Illinois. Then he relocated to somewhere closer to Muskie Innovations in like Southeast Wisconsin somewhere, I believe.
Really? Okay. So yeah, I always thought, again, I'm allowed to be wrong. In my head, we went to home base, but you know, Jay's been to this for a million years, where it's like, is that going to be more Minnesota? Are we starting with the Prometheus being the deeper water or the deep and fast, right? But allow the latitude. I apologize. But the desire for pounders, the desire for shallow swimming dogs with 2 ounces of weight of them are coming from Minnesota, right? The desire for presentations that are quote-unquote heavier, it's not about depth. It's about speed at depth. It's about depth control. You know, you're not going to get away with a shallow variation where it's running super shallow and clear water. So something to look at is where a bait is designed and where these people actually fish. And I thought it was very interesting because everything seems sort of anecdotal experience. You know, a guy that makes a bait in Pennsylvania has an entirely different experience than the guy that's fished his whole life in Northern Indiana.
Yeah, I imagine so. Yeah.
You know, so just something to think about where you go. Again, we talked about cranes is what got me on the topic, which is like Bill Crane. Would he rather fish eagle or Indian chain? Dad always said Bill would rather be on the Indian chain.
Sure, because like you said before, and that was, you know, I think accurate, you know. It's just like, no, he just liked catching them muskies, you know.
Which is fine.
He wasn't overbuilding a bait to, you know, out of hard plastic so you have better hooking and a longer life and you know, perfect weighting to it. It's just like, no, this is the lightest of light balsa wood fish catching high vibration deal with, you know, light hardware.
It is what it is.
So, God bless them. They're great.
Well, which is like something I talked about. A guy from Canada this week called me. Mm-hmm. I heard on your podcast, you knew Bill Looney. Yeah. My dad did. And I met him and I was probably like wearing a Hulk Hogan t-shirt looking like a doofus.
Right. You catch fish.
Yeah, Dad knew him. Well, what's up with the AMMA Bammy? Number one, find the exit off I-64 called AMMA. That's the town with no gas station. And fish that stretch of river and you'll figure out what's up with the AMMA Bammy. The AMMA Bammy was never intended to be a glide bait. It was not supposed to go left or right. People are like,
oh, yeah?
People will get an AMMA Bammy and go, this doesn't glide for shit. Well, it wasn't supposed to. Still not supposed to. It was a pull bait. It was so before, you know, the Big Joe where people are like, this is the first musky jerk bait that rip fall. No, AMMA Bammy was.
The live action lure Big Joe. Sure.
Yeah. AMMA Bammy was meant to be ripped, not tapped.
Huh.
You rip and fall. And finally, Bill Looney said, okay, I'm sick of people saying my baits suck and they don't go left to right, so I'm going to make them go left to right.
Wow.
Because on that stretch of river, boys, I'll tell you what, rip fall sure as heck work. There's a colloquial language in muskie fishing, right?
Some of us. Locally designed, locally produced.
Here's what I'll say is this. Some of us are multilingual. And some are not. If you have enough, I've got, what I can tell you is this. In Canada, since I was 6 years old, and I'm way older than that now, I can count my time quicker in years than days. Right? Opposed to somebody that goes up for, they start going up there in their late 20s on the weekends. Or 2 weeks a year. It's about purview. It's about your interpretation of the water. What do I need versus what do I want? So it's interesting from that perspective when you go, holy crap, it's purpose-driven tools. I've said it for years, but when you think about where they come from, if so, you know, if a dude from, I'm just making it up, no offense if you live there, Texas, let's pick the worst state ever, right? Northern Texas starts making musky baits. You know, Lone Star musky. This doesn't exist that I know of, and if it does, I'm sorry. Lone Star musky baits starts cranking out baits. And he makes them and go, okay, looks cool. Where does he fish? Well, not at home, but he goes to Lake of the Woods 1 week a year. How much of a purview into what is happening does he have? Ooh, interesting. Different way to look at it. I'm not comparing apples to oranges. It's just a truism, dude. It just is. Where, like, something I'll say that's unpopular. Southern musky anglers have 12-month seasons. Northern anglers have 6, 5. Sometimes your experience is doubled in a single year. You might have, one guy might have 30 days on the water because he gets fish weekends, and a southern angler might have 60. Like, how are we advancing? How are we perceiving what is taking place on the water? I'm going to shut up before I stick my foot in my mouth. Kyle, Kraken, I didn't know this was coming up. Love the podcast, love the Kraken. You nailed it with the bait. My question is about the Kraken. Do you think the Kraken would be just as effective without the bait fish? Absolutely. He's asking about EBS. Does the bait fish sound matter? No. Not at all. Sorry. Stop, Eric, fire me if you don't like it. Doesn't matter. Not on that bait. The EBS matters to me on really slow things, right? The fish caller, like Eric from Livingston, is at the Nova Scotia Industrial Fishing Show, Jay. I told you this.
Yeah, yeah.
Professional lobster fishermen, professional crab fishermen. If you've never seen the show Deadliest Catch, Wild Bill has a giant Livingston logo above his helm. It's on the wall on Discovery. And he uses them in all of his pods because they like it. They're sitting there. If you believe in things like hydro waves and things of that nature, you're ice fishing. Yeah, that works. Slow, slow, slow presentation. It can be the difference. Brendan. Brenda's asking about my boat.
The low.
So, what I'll say is this. I'll paraphrase all this. You can shoot me an email. It's a little bit different setup than anything that's just readily available.
In terms of the model or in terms of the mods you've done with it?
Well, the mods the mods they've done with it.
Yeah. Well, okay. You did some cool tackle mods on that.
I've done some, Wreck and Racks helped me out and a few different things and what they've done and rod storage and everything. Anyway, working through these, Jay, hold on. There's something. Oh, goodness. I'm looking at the email, guys. Got so many freaking emails this week. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. First and foremost, one thing I want to say is this. If you're in Canada and you want to hang out with me, I'm going to be up there very soon. Ooh, we'll talk about that here very shortly. So that's a whole other animal.
Some people go to Florida in the winter, Steve.
Steve French, I'm not trying to talk about baits. Can you address how you use a kamikaze? I think we did that last week. Well, we did. Hold on. I've got these munged up. My apologies. There we go. This is what I was looking for, and this was kind of the premise with mods. So there's tons of mods you can do. We talk about different mods. What would you say to someone that's trying to design a bait? You've had success with the Titan Junior, now the Kamikaze. What input would you have for someone building a bait? I like this. I want to sort of base some of this off of this, right? I have never designed a bait that I didn't need.
There you go. Okay.
Right. Do not try to field a need that you don't know exists. Hence my conversation about where you're from. Right? Don't come up with a bait and try to find the application. It's equivalent of this, Jay. Imagine the guy that invented the riveter. Like the tool that compresses rivets, right? But okay. Rivets didn't exist. Like, I got a thing to clamp down. What's a rivet? What do I need this? Well, if somebody invented a rivet, I got the tool for you. Why? You know, something maybe simpler to grasp. The guy that invented the snow plow, but snow didn't exist. Like, if there was no snow, right? But you invented the snow plow. How useful is it? Zero. Snow is non-existent. It doesn't happen. But yet you've invented the snow plow. Who cares? Figure out a problem and find a solution. Right? So don't figure out a solution for a problem you don't know exists.
Yeah, I see your point with invention. It's just like, because I hear people when they look at baits say something like, I could see this working on maybe fill in the blank. You know what I mean? If they're not,
And dude, there's lakes where like, okay, you need a hellhound and that's it. That's it. You need a hellhound. There's lakes where you need 40 baits. There's lakes where you need 2 baits. There's lakes where you need 1 bait. Right? Because muskies don't know the difference of where they're at. But don't create a solution for a problem you do not know exists. A couple things I would say is this is a recommendation, because I feel honored. If you're, again, something I should address. People will send me bait sometimes, Jay. What do you think? That's awkward for me. Prefer that we didn't. But I'll get them in the mail sometimes. And I tell people flat out this. What's this supposed to do? What problem does this fix? Right? Let's pick. Okay, the Titan. Screw it. I'll make somebody mad. Don't care. I fixed a problem with a bait that everyone was like, I can deal with it, right? The headaches are so bad, I can deal with it because this is the best we got. No, I can do better. Do better. Make the same action, but make it easier. Or find a new solution for a problem we haven't solved, right? Duff, Supernatural Big Baits. He solved something brilliant. Kudos to Duff. And there's no question I'm a fan, right?
Yeah.
Well, and back in the day, we'd come out with our Jakes and our Depth Raiders, right? That's that was the trolling compliment du jour. Your deep baits were Depth Raiders. You might have had whatever or whatever, but you got Jake's, you got
Grandma's. Yeah.
Well, they track pretty true. You better be swerving like crazy. There's a lot of ding-dongs running around in a straight line. You look at their GPS trail on their boat, and it's straight as an arrow, and they smacked fish. Well,
yeah.
Duff made it wander. You have to do less with your boat to catch more fish.
There you go.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Titan. You have to manipulate the rod less, much less tune the bait zero to just make it do what you want it to do.
Yeah.
Kraken. You got to pop it up and it'll go up, go down, go up and go down with far less force. And you don't have to worry about this. You blah, 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 blah. Fix a problem. I can't see all the problems in musky fishing. I wish I could. I'd make 400 baits a year. But then again, circling back, Bill from Slammer, Love, I don't know this on good authority. Don't quote me on it. But I've always envisioned that the slammer is an homage to a crane. If I'm wrong on that, I apologize. I'm not trying to offend anybody. However, the slammer doesn't explode when a pike hits it. Right?
The slammers are tough as nails.
Right, where a crane isn't. And you don't have to, you get a new slammer, you don't have to change the hooks, you don't have to change the split rings on the things I've pointed out that I personally do on mine. Why did I do it on mine? I fish different water. Bill fishes different water than the Bill from Slammer fishes different water than Bill Crane. And no offense to either of you. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right. That is my take. I'm entitled to it. But is that a solution to a problem he perceived and said, I'm going to fix this. I love this bait, but it blows up. I love it and the harness pulls out, or I love it and the hooks are weak. That's how you design a bait. What happens, from my perception, you will never see me ever come up with a glide bait. Glide baits have been mastered. Name all the glide baits and name all the custom glide baits, Jay. You can't do it. We'll miss 40 of them. Right? Name all the crankbaits. Never ending. Right?
Totally.
You name some diving rise baits, the list gets shorter. You name some baits like this, you as you go to different bait classes, the list gets shorter and then it gets, that one's got this going on, or that one's got this going on. Nah. Don't fix a problem that's already been mastered. You will never see me make a glide bait. You'll never see me make a 5-inch crankbait. Promise you that. I might make a trolling bait one day. Got some ideas. Or I might make this or might make that. But, admit when you go, they hit it. Don't pay homage, fix a problem. That's how you design a bait. Yeah, when it came to the Kraken, admittedly so. Did I look at tubes? Absolutely. Did I look at Red October solely? No. Did I look at Water Wolf also? Yes. And Red October? Yes. And Gets It? Yes. And Bass Tubes? Yes. And everybody else, Titan tubes. The first musky tubes I ever saw were from what, Innovations?
Yeah.
So the Prometheus is innovation. So everybody can stop right there and go. We're iteration, 4 or 5, if not more. How do we make this better? How do we make it work better? That's all I do. So if you're a bait designer, you might have the baddest 4-inch crankbait you've ever seen to you. I'll present you with this. Buy all the 4-inch crankbaits and tell me yours is the best. If it is, do it. And I only say this, I don't say this as a challenge to stifle. It's a challenge to push innovation. I love innovation in musky fishing. We, as 30, 40, 50-year-olds, we're stifled by history. I had a conversation with a distributor the other day. I will not be stifled by history. I don't care. I wasn't there for the musky rampage on Leech Lake. Don't care. It's a story. What can we do better? So if you're a bait designer, and I love the question, thank you so much for sending it. What can you do? Take something, figure out what's wrong with it, and make it the best it could possibly be. I don't believe I can perfect a glide bait better than a Hellhound or a Phantom. Don't believe it can be done. With what we have right now as far as terminal tackle and rods and reels, nope, can't do it, right? Can you do better top water than Lake X or Joe Booker? Maybe. Maybe not, right? Can you do a better rip bait, rubber bait? I think Brad at Innovation sort of nailed it with the quad dog. So, don't be stifled by your own circumstance. Be stifled by, I don't like this. Let's make it work better. Because guess where glide bait started, Jay? Ah, reef hogs. See the evolutionary pattern of a bait's development. Without a reef hog, there'd be no hellhound. Without a reef hog, there'd be no $400 glide baits, right? Without a Suic, there'd be no $1,000 bar fighters. Or whatever they're going for now. You know, with a, so that's the thought process there. It's always an homage. It's always a, what did they do wrong? What can I do better? How do I envision this bait working? That is my best recommendation. If you're envisioning a bait or working up a bait. The other thing I say is this, people have been asking this week, and I've seen a ton of sales on them, making bucktails, Jay. Should I make my own bucktails? About 40 people this week have asked that. Yes. Abso-freaking-lutely. Once again, spanky baits, what do they do, Jay? Heavier wire, and they run slightly deeper. Heavier blades, heavier wire.
Heavier
right?
blades, heavier wire. Yep, yep.
You know, you got your innovations, your frenzies, all this stuff. Tailor make your blades are so easy to do. I've said it before. You can buy the kit from Muskie Shop and it'll make a perfect bucktail. Muskies don't need a perfect bucktail. You need two pairs of vice grips and some parts and pieces. Right? The first step to making a bucktail, in my opinion, is this, is buy a shank of wire. Right? Buy a pack of wire from the Muskie Shop and take your bucktails you have and cut them up and rebuild them. Step one. Cut them up.
As in practice.
Practice. Go, okay.
Sure, sure.
Okay, all right. I'm going to take this thing apart. It's a wire down the middle, bro. It didn't take a rocket genius to build it. I promise.
Look at the weight they're using. Look at the positioning of the weight. How many beads are in front? Yeah, the spacing. Yeah, yeah.
And let's say bucktail, I always say X, but got like X. But say bucktail XYZ, right, is working for you. Break down the pieces. Is it, you know, what style of beads? If they're all copper beads or, excuse me, brass beads, it might add more weight. Don't overthink it. They're not magical. Bucktails are not magic. They're not. I swear to you. Do not over-mystify a bucktail. Demystify them. Cut them apart. Go, bleh. Had a good friend of mine, Chris, on the boat on Wabigoon this year. We were fishing. And he said, man, I cannot believe basically the redneck ingenuity, the bush craft you're doing on bucktails. I said, this is what we need, dude. The fish don't care. They wanted a certain blade combo and a skirt collar. I'm going to make 30 of them. I'm going to sit here and freaking pound them out. Get back to the cabin, rebuild them. Who cares? Oh, that one's an inch and a half longer than the other one. Doesn't matter. Right? Figure out what matters and what doesn't. Because what's awesome, the point you need to hit on bucktails in your fishing career for muskies is this. I don't buy them. I have the parts and pieces to make anything anybody comes up with. Okay, I've got, you know, 10 sets of 10s, 10 sets of 9s, 10 sets of 8s, whatever. The litany of blades. And I'm fortunate I started through sheer nepotism with piles of blades and dad that said, don't buy bucktails, right? Still buy bucktails, but at the end of the day, I go, okay, I can emulate that and understand what they are. Don't overthink them. They're pretty simple mechanisms, right? If you interlace the clevises properly, Jay's done a ton of videos on this. Don't overthink them. Don't, because you can make changes on the water that will dramatically shift how your fishing experience is going. So probably the easiest modifiable lure you have is a bucktail. The easiest to rebuild is a bucktail. I've seen dudes like they get hammered on a fish and go, oh crap, I wish I had another. I go, why? All the parts are there, dude. We don't have a bucktail shank on the boat. Have them on the boat. Have 041, 045, 06. What's the spankies on? That's like bicycle spoke stuff.
Oh, right? Yeah. It's like 060.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, okay. Gonna back it up. I don't bend those on the boat. Not going to lie. Those are like maniacal, right?
But 051. 051 is easy 051, to hand
down. Yeah.
That's a standard gauge.
But you can get the 051, the 41, 45, whatever. Have them on hand and be able to make these things as needed. Like you got a party of three in your boat and you go, okay, they're hitting on, let's make it up. They're hitting on lime green skirts and they're hitting them on silver and black blade combo. And it's a 7-7, but it's gotta be that. And the guy in the back of the boat smoking the guy in the front. Okay. Why do we not have the parts to make them? What's holding you back from 10 minutes? Jay, you've watched me do it on the boat. Make a buck.
Put a buck on together? Nope.
Yeah, in 4 minutes.
No, not even. Yeah. Like the one time we were in Minnesota. Yeah, you pop one up. It's like, I need one with a... Oh, I think you're on a white skirt thing or something that day.
And we just got a strike. Yeah,
yeah.
And you go,
yeah,
I'm odd man out or what. It's not a front of the boat bite. It's like whoever has that bait... And it rarely does it happen, but to have the availability to make that, boom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had people ask, I'm not trying to just riff, but we're talking mods, we're talking bait making and all this stuff. What's the most important thing you have in your boat as far as tackle? I go, my mod box. I've got a Plano Deep. It has every kind of bucktail wire you can think of. A billion blades, a billion lure bodies, a billion beads, hooks for days and split rings. And then I'll have like skirts going from like Fire Tiger to black, right? Gold, Fire Tiger, any iteration thereof where it's like, okay, I got black, I got orange. I can make a combo. I can make anything sort of in the musky spectrum. And yeah, that's a lot of time accumulating those skirts. But if you know fish like purple on your body, why don't you have 10 purple skirts? So you're like, okay, we just got rocked on this. And now we got this wonky running bucktail. I've seen it, dude. The one bay that's hitting's now just janked up.
Yeah. You know how they bend? You know, it's like, even if you catch a decent sized pike on them, you could bend that bucktail and it'll never run right. Snip. Give me a piece of wire. Okay, hold on. Let me bend her up. Okay, we're ready to go. Here's a new one.
And
with the same components.
And the thing is this. Jay's seen it. And I'll just tell you my thought on this. I do not look at bucktails as some precious commodity if I buy one. I look, oh, I bought some parts and pieces that I can keep rebuilding. If you find a bucktail that works for you, just go, okay, well, it's two skirts, some spacers, 14 beads, and this lure body. What's lure body weigh? Okay, well, 3/4 inch, and that's about this. And you go, I can make those stand on my head. The availability to do that in the summer months and the early fall is invaluable because you can focus more of your financial energy on hard baits while not being hamstrung by these things being bent up and they won't run. That's just my take. Anyway, Jay, I've been soapboxing. Hopefully I covered enough mods. Hopefully we just riffed on it. It's just one of those weeks. I'm frozen in.
What? You know, we've got an amazing amount of that stuff at the shop. You know, it's just like sometimes, you know, I do our social media stuff and it's like, you know, if we get a cool shipment of something in that's flashy and neat looking, yeah, I'll take a picture of it or do a short video. It's like, hey, look at all the cranes we got into there, whatever.
Right.
You know, the exciting stuff. I don't do videos that says, hey, look at the $20,000 order of blades, beads, and clevises and bodies that we got in Wednesday.
Let me tell you, no one's
going to care, but it's a huge amount of stuff, you know?
Let me say something real quick.
Please do.
Don't talk because you might get in trouble, but I don't work there. There are three companies that make blades. Three. Right? Lakeland, Worth, and Meps. Meps makes their own. Lakeland and Worth make all the other blades. What? Lakeland and Worth make all the other blades. MEPS has their own thing going on, man. They got stuff going on in France. They got stuff going on in the USA. Yes, they have custom blade making. Everybody else uses Lakeland and Worth. So, the amount of people that are making bucktails right now, and maybe I'm wrong, not trying to fit. If you make bucktails, God bless you. That's fine. Yeah, I can find something close enough for right now. Unless you come up with a 13 and a half and three quarters blade, I'm going to be in the game, right? Or I don't go, I could go Chinesium and probably find it. But most of everything is a standard musky blade you can find from Worth or Lakeland. That's it. Booker won't be mad when I say this. The original Booker tail blades were made by Worth. I got a pile of them. When the 10 buck came back from Musky Shop, to JBO, I sent Joe one of the original ones I had in the box. Here's the thin Worth blade that was hand hammered for the Willow 10 buck. Right? New in the package. Still had it from like 19 whatever, 80 whatever. But I've got the original 700, 500, and everything in between the 800 blades that they used. Because nobody's like, Joe Booker's not staying out in his garage forging blades. Right? It's bucktails are the amalgam of components. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Bucktails are the amalgam of components. If you have all the components on hand, you can make anything you want. Now you have ultimate versatility in your blade game. More importantly is fish things that are pre-made and emulate. Ah, right? Now, backing it up, are you going to find allow some latitude, I might be wrong. Let's call a MEPS Giant Killer a number 6 Willow, right? Are you going to find a MEPS blade that's exactly that freaking size? Probably not. Or the density of the brass, probably not, because they make them their own, but everything else seems to be Worth or Lakeland, right? The wire density. What you need to consider on a bucktail is this. What size lead are they using? How big is the skirt? And what is the wire thickness? That's it. I can't tell you how many times I've taken a bucktail. Man, this is really working in the middle of the day because it runs deeper. But I need the exactly the same configuration and a lighter variation. Well, let's take the wire size down. Let's take the weight off. Same blades, same everything, and it runs 4 feet higher at the same speed. Oh, now I'm smacking them. Right. I didn't mean to go down this rabbit hole, but I find blades are like the most modifiable component in musky fishing. I have no brevity for them, right? Once you realize the emperor has no clothes when it comes to bucktails, is a really an epiphanous moment in musky fishing, where you'll go, I have a box full of a bunch of crap, and I can make anything I need, right? I need double 13s that troll down because I've got a 4-ounce egg sinker. Done. Easy. Right. Mm-hmm. I need a set of double eights that run super shallow, slow. Well, leave this weight off. Minimal beads or plastic beads. That's another trick, right? Hobby Lobby or Musky Shop. Put a spacer down there and we leave that off. We can slow roll these blades because they're not sinking due to the weight and they're running 2 feet down. Blades are obviously highly effective. We all know that. We've talked about it. We just don't hammer on this. But talk about a modifiable platform where when you peel back the layers, you look behind the curtain and the Wizard of Oz is a midget going, Marr! You can make whatever you want. Dude comes out with, again, 13 fours. Well, I'm buying 4 blades and 13s. What does that look like? How big's that bait? Let's buy one and emulate. Anyway, I'm not trying to stir the pot. I'm just telling you that's where I'm at as a musky angler. What makes sense for me where I go, I don't need to buy a billion sets of blades. I go, I find one. It works. But the core of the matter is always having the parts on hand for things that work for you where you can make variations on the fly and you can repair on the fly. I think that's super important, right? That's like going to a gig. I've thought it this way, Jay, and there's some people play guitar in here, but imagine you go to a show and you're a guitar player and you show up and here's my guitar and it has six strings on it. If I break a string, I don't need a new guitar. I need new strings. I'm not going to pay $2,500 for a new vintage Strat. I'm going to replace the strings on this, and I have the exact same thing. That'd be my thought. I've riffed too long. Anyway, Jay Bird, say good night.
Thank you, guys. Good night.
Jay, the other thing I say is this. There's one of the email I read we were talking, right? And the guy said this. He said, hey, what's your take on the new election cycle? And we don't do politics on here because of this very singular reason. The last time Jay's family got involved in politics, his grandfather ended up in Argentina. Good night, folks!
Wow!